Some of you are more familiar with the song than you are the scripture. You know, you remember that song? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, I remember I was growing up in a church and we would sing those songs, and I love what we did. We'd say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and the whole congregation would go, so! Amen. Because it is so in your life. You are the redeemed of the Lord, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Truly righteous, truly holy, it is who you are. And I will echo what Pastor Robert was saying. Even if everything in your life seems not to be have any evidence of that whatsoever, if the Bible says it's true, it's true. How many of you know when they went and stood before the walls of Jericho, the walls were still fortified. The people were still inside the city. It was still seeming like it was a city that needed to be conquered. The Lord looked at him and said, look, I've already given you the city. Amen. Because why? That's how God operates. He'll tell you something's yours and you have to believe it without any evidence of it. Amen. So these are how things work in our life. And Holy Spirit, I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, so that as we continue to learn these truths about who we are in Christ Jesus and what we have in Him, that these truths will go from our head down into our heart and we will believe truly with all that's within us what we have in you. Lord, thank you for this precious authority that you have baptized us in. And so now, Lord, we can do the same things you did. The works you did, we can do also. And even greater works, because you've gone to the Father, and there's more of us now. In Jesus' name, we thank you for what you're showing us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we are studying the believer's authority in a series I've titled The Son of Man. And the whole premise of this teaching is, yes, to understand our authority that we have in Christ Jesus, but we're coming to understand that the reason why we have the authority we have is because of the Son of Man and because we are the sons of men. Amen? Because the earth is the Lord's. Amen? I mean, the earth is given to the children of men, but the heavens are the Lord's, right? So the authority has been given on this earth to you and I that dwell in flesh and blood bodies, and because of who we are in Christ Jesus. So we've been really laying a solid foundation in this. And today I really want to pick up and talk about what authority is. I want us to define it today because this is really important. If you don't have an understanding of what authority is, then you're really going to have a difficult time ever operating in it. Plus the devil will be able to come and just steal it from you because the scriptures teach us clearly if you don't understand the word, Satan, those birds of the air, will come and be able to take them from being rooted in your heart. So we need to understand, we need to know what it is. So if you're a note taker, this is for you today, praise God. And I'll try to go slow enough to where you can write down all these awesome truths. But I want to quickly review what we've been talking about, particularly over last week. We spent a lot of time last week talking about the Great Commission, which in most of the church today, it's the great omission, right? It's something that precious little in the body of Christ today actually walk out and fulfill. In fact, many people in the body of Christ today are waiting for their pastor to do it or waiting for the church to organize it. But what I've come to believe is that we as individuals all have a call to fulfill this great commission in our life, which is what? To make converts, yes, but to make disciples of those converts, praise God, baptize them, teach them, and then have all these signs follow us as a result of it. And this is something we spend a lot of time doing at this church, is that we really want to foster a culture here of a group of believers that see themselves and who they are in Christ Jesus and are doing their part as an individual to go and make this happen. And how many of you know, no matter where you work, where you go to the grocery store, what department stores you like to go to, you are called to be the light everywhere you go and to fulfill this great commission in our lives. So let's go back to Matthew 28 and let's quickly review some of these things. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we might go through most of these again today before we get into defining authority, but I think that Jesus' words to his disciples after his resurrection for those 40 days that he spent on the earth are ultra important. Would you agree with me? Because he's basically telling them, look, guys, I'm about to go be seated at the right hand of my Father. These are the things I am wanting you to do. And if these are things he has commissioned us to do, there is no questioning about this. There is no praying to God, asking him if it's appropriate for me to do it in any said situation. I know because the Lord's told me to do these things, I am always supposed to live my life doing what? Seeking first the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you essentially what that is today. We seek first the kingdom of God by populating said kingdom. Amen. What is the will and desire of the king? How can we get more people to come over into this kingdom with us? It's essentially all of these things that we'll be reading right here. But it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, most of the church today would believe that, right? Oh, praise God. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and earth. But here's the problem. Most people in the church today believe that's always been the case. Meaning that during Jesus' 33 years of existence on this planet, that he always had that. Why would he say in this situation that it's been given to me if he already had it? No, there was something that transpired through his death, burial, and resurrection to where he regained the keys that Adam gave away to Satan and now has restored us to the position of that authority we were given in the garden. So he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, somebody will hear that and they'll automatically say and respond, well, that's great, Pastor. It's good that Jesus has all this authority and all this power. But what about me? Well, I'm glad you asked that question because look at verse 19. Go therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, what do you need to find out? What it's there for. And it's there for the fact Jesus had been given all authority on heaven and on earth, right? So when he says for us to go therefore, it's to be understood that he is delegating that authority over to his disciples and telling them to go use that authority that he's been given and in his name start seeing some things accomplished. And specifically what he says is to make disciples. Amen? So who's called to make disciples? Was it just Peter? James? John? Nope. It's also Mark, Rosemary, Connie, Trey, Judy. We are all called to make disciples of people. So a question we asked last week is, how am I doing this in my life? How am I making disciples? Now, there is a lot of different ways to do it, but it might just be that you have a neighbor and you invite them over and you start teaching them some of the things that Jesus has shown you in your life and you are helping people to walk in the same light and truth that you are. You don't need a pulpit to do this. You don't need a microphone to do this. This is something every single one of us have the ability to instruct people in. So we're making disciples. We're baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And notice what it goes on to say in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And you remember I made the point last week. This is one of the reasons why I believe we are heavy on teaching in this church. Because teaching is how you make disciples. It's instructing people, right? So I think it's a very important thing that teaching is a big part of the Christian life because how are you going to make disciples without it? So we're teaching people to observe all the things that he has commanded us, and he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we have been given authority to what? Make disciples. To see people converted, and then to make them more Christ-like. Now go to Mark 16, and notice this. In Mark 16, we have a little bit more of an elaboration on what this Great Commission is and what accompanies it. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. That sounds a lot like the process of making disciples, doesn't it? But look what he says next. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17 goes on to say, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And these are signs that accompany what? Those that are doing what first? Preaching the gospel to every creature in all the world. See, I think sometimes we jump straight to these signs and we miss what he told us to do before that. See, I've come to find out the way in which I can see these signs better following me in my life is by doing what he told me to do in the verses preceding this. If my heart is full of preaching the gospel, making disciples, then it can be understood that the Lord will do what? Confirm the word which I am preaching. Boy, it would have been great if Jesus would have put that here in Mark 16, wouldn't he? He did. Let's continue reading these verses. Look what he says in verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Look at verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. Somebody say, they were obedient. They did exactly what the Lord told them to do. And what was the result? When they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So if I'm a believer that wants to see more demons get cast out, more people healed when I lay hands on them, I need to also be a believer that puts the utmost importance on sharing the gospel and making disciples. Can I get an amen? So we made a real strong point of this last week, but then we went over to Luke's gospel and also the book of Acts and talked about in order to have all these things working in our life, we got to do something else. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus told his disciples that before they go out and preach the gospel everywhere, they needed something. More namely, they needed someone. So what did he say? He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So in other words, the power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit was necessary to see the fruit of everything he was saying. So we spent a lot of time talking about the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and having that power flow through us, which is going to be a big point of what we learned today. So we have been delegated some authority, amen? Authority to preach the gospel, authority to help people come to know Jesus better and to see all these signs following us in our life. And you remember we made a real strong point about why we're called the church. You remember when we talked about that for an entire week? All right, well, I'll preach it again sometime. But we found out that the term church, when you look it up, in its original usage, was used to describe how a king on a castle somewhere had some villages he had to rule over that were in his domain, and he couldn't personally do it himself, so he had to delegate authority to some individuals. He would elect certain individuals to rule in his stead. So even in the term church itself, we see a sense of authority mixed into that, praise God. Because why? We are the Lord's ambassadors here on the earth to bring people at peace with Him. What an awesome privilege that is for each of us as individuals to do that. So, without any further ado, we're going to understand a little something about authority today. And I want you to make sure that you are capturing these truths in your heart. Make sure that you truly come to understand them as we go through them. Before we define authority, though, I want to make a point because I want to share with you why we need to define it, why we need to come to understand it. Because in case you haven't realized it or not, in society today, very few people prove through their life and actions and words that they understand very little about authority. There is an absolute disrespect and disdain for many elements of authority that we have here on the earth. And I'm going to tell you why this is so important to get, that you understand how it operates here on this earth. Because if you do not operate in it by your life and prove by your actions that you really respect it and believe it and things like that, how in the world do you think the devil's ever going to believe you when you tell him to go? In other words, let me say it this way. If you don't immediately comply and go, therefore, when the Lord tells you something, or when God-given authorities tell you something, then what makes you think the devil's going to do it? It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. But it's true, isn't it? Because I'm telling you, there's so many people out there, and it's even an epidemic in the church. In fact, in the church that we live in today, modern day church, if you talk much about obedience, holiness, righteousness, and essentially obeying the king, people will turn you off. They want you to know, they want you to tell them all the good stuff. Like, and we do emphasize the good stuff about, oh, God's good and He loves me no matter what and all these kind of things. But I'm going to tell you today, as we found last week, this one little word, repent, is also a very big word in the kingdom of God. Which is what? Come under the allegiance of this new king. Amen. So this is an important aspect of all these things. But I've got to understand this in my own personal life with God, to where if God tells me to do something, if God has commanded something in His Word, it doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what I want, I obey my orders from my heavenly headquarters at all cost. So I've got to subject myself to that authority, but then I've got to take it another step further. And where the Bible teaches me that all authority that's been given here on the earth has basically been given by God. So in all those different elements of authority, from my parents, to my husband, to my job, to my church, all these different things that God has given us, I have got to, it's imperative that I come to learn to respect and honor that authority in my life. Amen. I'm telling you, because once you start operating under this law, how your authority works in Christ Jesus starts working as a result of that. So we need to get that. We need to understand how to honor and recognize the authority we have in our life. But let's talk about this authority now. There's not a lot in the Old Testament said about authority, but in the New Testament, there is a tremendous amount. In fact, you look the word authority up and see how many times it's used in the New Testament, and you'll find out it is used a beaucoup amount of times. In fact, the most common word that is used in the Greek language, the New Testament, for authority is the word exousia. It's spelled E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And an interesting point about this word that's used for authority, it's actually translated in the original King James language, power, many more times than it is authority. And you'll see why here in a moment. It should be translated authority. It's a better word for it. But you're going to come to find out here in a moment that authority has an element of power mixed in with it. In fact, a very popular Bible dictionary, many of you have probably heard of this, Vine's Expository Dictionary, defines the word authority in a much more broad way than I'm about to define it. But I took this one statement that Vines uses to describe authority, because I believe it defines it to a T. Vines defines authority as, listen to this term, the right to exercise power. The right to exercise power. Now, Webster's, you're familiar with Webster's dictionary. Did you know Webster was a Christian? And while we have a more updated Webster's Dictionary today that kind of took out a lot of the Christianity part out of it, back in his original dictionary in 1828, I've got it in my Bible. In fact, it's sitting on my desk all the time because it's the only book thick enough to elevate that little camera thing I need to put on it. So I stick that book right there. But the 1828 Webster's Dictionary adds this. It defines it as legal power, or a right to command or to act. So again, Vine says it's the right to exercise power. Webster's defined it as legal power or a right to command or act. Now, the reason why I emphasize and highlight these two is for this reason. Notice that the word right is used in a couple of those. It's the right to exercise power. What that means is, and a point we should take away from that, is that our authority in Christ Jesus is a right that we have, or it has been lawfully given to us. There is no questioning, do we have this authority or not? And there is no questioning from the devil of whether we have the legal right to have it. Now, that's something we've been learning through this, and the foundation of this teaching is that when God gave us this authority back, when He gave us that authority back, He didn't do it arbitrarily just because He, on a whim, decided to change the rules. No, God actually sent Jesus in a flesh and blood body because He had to, because there had to be a man to restore what the first man, the first Adam, lost. So He did it all in a completely legal fashion, and the devil cannot stand in the courtroom of heaven and say, that is not right. They don't deserve that authority. The Lord can say, nope, they have the right to exercise my power. So get that now. That's a really important point, because how many times does the devil come to try to disqualify us and say it's not right that you speak to that demon, it's not right that you pray for that person, and comes and condemns us, giving us all the reasons why we are not able to do that? You need to throw this back on the devil in those times and say, nope, I have got the right to exercise God's power right now. It's legal. Amen. So it's the right to exercise power. It's the right to command or to act. In fact, here's an interesting point, is that this word, exousia, the normal word for authority, the verb form of it, listen to this, means to be lawful. In fact, you know, all those times in the Gospels where the Pharisees might come to Jesus and say, is it lawful for such and such? And they were referring to the Mosaic and Levitical laws, right? When they would say, is it lawful, that was the word that is kind of the root word, the verb form of this, which again shows us that this authority we have is lawful. Amen. It's right. It's written. Praise God. I have got authority because God has chosen to give it to me. Praise God. Now, I like this definition of authority. This is probably the most common one that we hear used, that authority is delegated power. Delegated power, meaning it has been given, it has been granted, but what is it that's been given or granted? Power. Oh, that's awesome. That's where we see the word power mixed into it. And what this means is that you and I have been given God's power. I'm reminded right now of Acts chapter 3, when at the gate called Beautiful, there was a man that was crippled. And the Lord sent, I believe He had ordained this, of course, Peter and John. They come and they see this man, and he starts asking for alms. He's looking for a handout. And I love that Peter and John went over to him, and I love what Peter said. Silver and gold I do not have. Now that doesn't mean Peter and John were broke. You understand that? I would probably translate it this way. My wife's got my purse. She's out doing some shopping right now. So I ain't got any money to be able to give to you. But guess what? I got something else I'll give to you. Because he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. And then Peter went into his prayer closet and prayed, oh God, please give me power, because I need to see this man healed. And I just told him that if I've got something to give to him, so Lord, please anoint me. Oh, I need the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. All right, I feel the Lord now. Let's pray for him. Is that what happened? No. He said, such as I have, give I unto you. And there was no brief abbreviation there. There was an immediate action. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. See, what had he been given? He had been delegated power from God. Because he'd been endued with power from on high, he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he knew he had the authority, which meant he had the power in his possession to use. So why do we go around doing this thing? Oh God, please, I need you. Lord, we're asking you to do this and that. No, authority means I know I've got the right to do it, and God has delegated the responsibility to me, so I'm not asking God to do it. I'm using what God has already given me, and I'm doing it. Not because I'm God, not because the power is in and of myself, but because I understand what's been put in my spiritual bank account. It's delegated power. Now, here's another interesting definition. This word, exousia, the common word for authority, carries with it the idea of freedom. And this is going to go in line with what I just said. I like to use a little app that I use on my phone. In fact, I rarely use a physical Bible anymore. I use an app on my phone called the Blue Letter Bible. I can share with you. It's free. It's easy to use and this and that. But I like it because it gives a lot of definitions of words. And when I look this word up in the Blue Letter Bible, the very first definition given to it said this, that authority is the power of choice and the liberty of doing as one pleases. The power of choice and the liberty of doing as one pleases. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that you and I are going out and commanding things and doing things that cater to our flesh. No, it's to be understood that we're talking about doing the will of the king. Amen? But when it comes to the will of the king as his delegated representatives, I have got the freedom and the power to choose what happens. In other words, I'm not like one of those elected officials down in the village somewhere, and I'm going to send a telegram to the king and ask him if it's okay for me to make this decision in this town, and then I've got to turn around and wait for that telegram to come back to me to get the right and privilege to do that. No, it's to be understood that I already know what the will of the king is, and because I already know what he wants, I just act on it. I've got the freedom and the power of choice. Amen? So, looking back at Mark 16, what did he say was the last sign that will follow them that believe? They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? So, why in the world would I, when I see a sick person, say, Lord, do you want me to pray for that person right now? Is it your will to heal that person right now? No, he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so, I act on that. I have the power of choice and the freedom then to pray for that person and use the power that has been delegated to me and put in my hand to see some results right there. And I believe that when we do that, we start seeing some really good results in our life. Amen. So that's essentially what authority is. It's the right to exercise power, the freedom and power of choices involved in doing so. But now I've got to know something. What is it that I've been given the right and the power to use? Amen? What is the purpose of these things in my life? And the best analogy that I've ever seen or heard, and I was tickled on Thursday's healing school because Minton's up here teaching, and he starts talking about this very thing, and I almost shouted out, quit preaching my message, Minton! But how many of you know it's the same Holy Ghost? One of the greatest examples we have in life today of delegated authority is the police. I lost all you old people in here, y'all. Police officers. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Police officers are delegated authorities here. And if you don't believe that, then just go 100 miles per hour on the interstate out there on your way home, and I'm pretty sure if you go long enough, you will have somebody exercising their right of some power in your life, right? Or you just go and act a fool out there in some place. I'm telling you, They are God's ministers, as the Bible says, to use this judgment. Now, something, though, that I thought of that is very interesting is, you know, the point that I was making. Have you ever noticed that a police officer, that when they see somebody breaking the law or doing something, that they don't sit there and, you know, radio in to their superior asking them, do you want me to enforce the law here? You ever notice that? They just do it. In fact, you know what thing I also learned? Is that even if a police officer is off duty, if there is a grievous enough breaking of the law there, he or she has the right to enforce the law even though they're not in uniform, even though they're not on the clock. Right? Y'all ever seen something like that happen? I guarantee you it's happened many different times. Oh man, and the Lord started ministering to me when I saw that. You know what it is? There's many times in our lives where we're not in uniform. Where we are off duty when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God, right? We don't look at me with those innocent holy faces. Every single one of us in here have lived probably more of our Christian life off duty than on duty. Right? But you know what's awesome? Here's a great revelation. Even if you don't have your uniform on, you're not on the clock, you still have authority to command and make some arrest. Because how many times does the devil love to come and tell you, oh, you're not holy enough. You haven't been praying enough. You haven't been studying your word. Who do you think you are to start commanding me to do something right now? That's when you turn around and say, yep, but I was made a police officer. It reminds me of in the book of Acts. Do you remember that story where Paul was arrested? You know, I know there's many different times that he was arrested, but you remember that one where he was taken and they were about to scourge him, they were about to whip him. And he asked the question, is it lawful that you scourge or try a Roman citizen? And they stopped, whoa. Because legally, they weren't able to do that. A Roman citizen, they could have done that to a Jewish person, right, that was not a Roman citizen, they could have just decided to just whip them and judge them and do all this kind of stuff. But Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen, and it made the guy stand back. And he goes, and he took him to his superior, and he said, with a great amount of money, I purchased my citizenship. And what did Paul say? But I was born a citizen. Guess what? You were born again God's police. I was born into this position, baby. I might not have my uniform on. I might not be on duty at the current moment, but it don't change the fact that I am employed by this government, God's government, to exercise His power. Man, we could dismiss right there, go home. That was good enough right there, praise God. But while it might still work that way, and it does, how many of you know a police officer that's walking around constantly in sweatpants and a t-shirt might have a harder time getting the criminals to do what he says they're going to do? Because they might not believe, based on what he's wearing or not wearing in this case, that he actually has the authority. So what we wear and the badge being on and having our gun on our side is something that helps enforce that authority when it comes to the kingdom of darkness, right? So, do you reckon that we might have a few of those things at our disposal? How about this? I think Pastor Robert actually used a verse that went right along these lines today. You got to be in uniform. What is the uniform of the kingdom of God? Well, let me give you two different ways to look at it. The Bible tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves in Jesus Himself. And it also tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Armor that is given to delegated authorities. And see, this is why this whole idea of, like, say, the armor of God and things like that is, I think there's a misunderstanding of it in a lot of people. People will wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you for a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, right now, I put on my helmet of salvation. I put on my breastplate of righteousness. I put on my shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, I put on my belt of truth. I take my shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and now I am clothed in the armor of God, ready to go out and tackle a new day. I'm going to give you a better tip. You ready for this? Sleep in your armor. So you ain't got to put it on every day. Constantly wear the armor of God in your life and never take it off. Paul never said, he told you to put it on, but he never told you to take it off. So this putting on of Jesus, putting on of the armor of God, I believe is transpires through a mentality. You got to have a mindset in you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have faith. I've got the Word of God. My mind is encircled with my salvation and all the benefits of it. And I'm living my life like this. And I'm going to tell you, when you live with that mentality, the devil can see it. He can see it in the spirit. He can see what you're wearing. And there is something we put off in the spirit to where demons know. That's why with the seven sons of Sceva, he knew they were naked. And he was going to make sure they were naked in the natural too when he got done with them. But Paul, he knew. He recognized certain people. He knew the people that had the armor on, that were wearing Christ Jesus. And he knew the ones that he was definitely subject to in that situation. So putting on the whole armor of God, having your uniform on. How about this? You got to have a badge, right? And I'll couple it together with this. Kind of like a police officer standing in the middle of a busy intersection, and he holds his hand up with badge on and says, "Stop in the name of Leroy." That's the best L name I could think. "Stop in the name of Liz." Yeah, there we go. Right? Well, how many of you know telling somebody to do something in our own name ain't going to get the job done? But to say, "Stop in the name of the law," and what am I saying? I'm not speaking this on my own authority. I'm speaking this with the government backing me up. So when I do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've got that badge on, and I'm able to whip that badge out and let people know that I have authority here, guess what? They have to obey, or what? They will have to answer to my authorities that I'm operating in the name of. Right? So I know that when I speak, "Stop, go, come," in the name of the Lord, the devils have to obey. But the problem is, and you've heard me say this many different times, whether we're praying or commanding or saying whatever, that it's not just about saying in the name of Jesus. I've heard many different people pray like this. "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm a little worm, a cretin in the kingdom. And Lord, you know all the mistakes I've made. You know everything that I've done that's been wrong this week and before that. But Lord, I'm asking you to do this. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen." How many of you know Trey did not just pray in the name of Jesus? He just prayed in the name of Trey. Because all I was doing was emphasizing who I am, what I've done, all the things that were concerning me, instead of, "You are good, good. Oh, and you are faithful even when I'm faithless. God, you are great. You got all the power, all the authority, and you've granted it to me. And I am now righteous and holy in the kingdom of God. And I put on that. I put on that mentality. I put on those things. And now I, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, command and act. It's with that mentality we get a lot better results. Amen. It's using our badge. Praise God. So we, as God's police officers, on duty or off duty, have been given this authority to do what? Enforce the will of the King in our lives. And you got to know what your sphere of authority is too, right? That's a real important thing. Like here, I'll give you a good way in which I've prayed before. I remember one time we had one particular individual in this church that was basically a hair from entering into the gates of heaven. And I went to the hospital. And this certain individual, I remember I got down on my knees at the foot of that bed, grabbed their feet. Now you'll know God, Pastor Trey's operating in the anointing if I'm going to touch your bare feet. And I said, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I, as this individual's pastor, stand in the gap for them right now and command life into their body and for them to rise back up. Because, Lord, they're useful to me in the kingdom of God. They're useful to you in the kingdom of God. And so I speak life. And I used this kind of element of authority. Not just even the general authority of Christianity. I use that, and guess what? That person rose back up the next day and is today just as healthy as any of you are. Because why? I used a sense of the authority that we have in this natural realm to command those things. I did that here just recently. And I fully expect that to be the way that it works. Amen. And it doesn't mean you ain't got to be a pastor to do this. I'm just using that as an example. Here's a good example, how you do it with your kids. Oh, man. The devil comes and tries to take my kids, steal their health, the quality of their life, and they're out there doing a God knows what. Blessed are the generation of the upright. And this is my sphere of authority. Things that happen in my house, I have the right to command and act. Amen? And so you start using that authority, using that power, but the whole premise of all this is you've got to be confident in the power that backs you up. See, most Christians live their life not completely certain and sure that God will actually back up what I'm doing right now. Maybe through having multitudes of times where it didn't seem to work and things like that. This is when you got to get in the presence of God. You got to get to know the King. And you got to know that me and the Lord are on the same side right here. And it's the Lord's will for the kingdom of God to be working in somebody's life. And it doesn't work just with sickness. It doesn't work just with all these things. All these things. But what is the way it is in the kingdom of heaven? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about this. This is how you know what the will of the King is, because the way it is in heaven is the will of the King. What is there a complete absence of in heaven? Sickness, disease, people being broken, people being afflicted. There is no poverty in heaven. People are rejoicing and full of peace in heaven. That's the will of the King, and that's what I've come to be persuaded is what I have the right to enforce. In my house, in this house, and everywhere I go outside of this house. Such as I have, give I unto you. And that's the same way you need to be talking. Amen? I mean, I've seen it work this way. Somebody needs to listen to me right now. You have a business. You have a property. You have something that has just been dragging you down. It's been stealing from you. It's been taking far too much time, too much money. You need to use this authority, go to that piece of property, and speak to it. Minton did an excellent job on Thursday in explaining to us that the Lord oftentimes was noted as speaking to fig trees and fevers. He talked to these things. And it's to be understood that if the Lord talked to them and then he saw change when he did say something to them, that they listen. So guess what? Your place of business, your property, those certain things in your life also have ears. And if you'll go talk to them, amen. Take your house, walk around your house. It seems to be a money pit. And you go around there and you just say, nope, in Jesus' name, I'm using my authority. I draw a bloodline around this house and there will be no more of this enemy stealing, killing, and destroying in my life. Anything that transpires in this house will be according to the kingdom of heaven. And people, they choke on it. You start talking about doing that, and people don't want to do it. You know why? Because they're superstitious. Oh, if I go tell the devil, they'll be like, Pastor, you need to be quiet. Don't you know the devil will hear you? Yes, I know he'll hear me, and I hope he does. He's the one that needs to hear me. Right? Instead of this, I'm subject to the devil and whatever he wants to do in my life, and basically have more faith in what the devil will do than in God. We need some mind renewal on this, baby. Turn the valve and let's release the life that's on the inside of us into the world around us and start using the authority that we've been given in Christ Jesus and enforce the will of the King in everything we do and everything we say. Who we are. Over our bodies, our homes, over everything in our life. So this is what authority is. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given the right to exercise God's power. It's time for us to start doing it. Amen? And let's start drawing that bloodline. I mean, it's funny. I think I told you this, Charlotte, not too long ago, but I heard a testimony one time of this person that went to the vet. And they took their dog to the vet. Their dog was sick and everything. And they went into the vet's office. And you know how they got just those big table kind of things just isolated sitting in the middle. And they just set the dogs up there so they can examine them. And this person went in there and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over this table. And they started just putting their hand over it. And the blood is pleaded over it and this and that. Guess what? That dog got on that table, perks up, springs to its feet. Completely whole. But here's the kicker. The next dog that came in there that got on that table was raised up. Because why? When you get this confidence in your heart and you're wearing this armor the way you need to and using your badge, it works for everything from the temptations we go through to enforcing the will of God in our life. Let's stand on our feet. Praise God.